This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs, together with T. Xiao Yik and Sharmila Gunnison. Before we get to our second story, let's just do a quick check on our Twitter poll.
Yep, so we asked you, is there enough recognition of women and women's issues in pop culture, such as in movies, music, and TV series? Still about the same. Almost half of you said not enough, but it's improving. 36% say you want to see more, and 16% say yes, there's enough. So to join a conversation, tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 0377-332900. And we have a comment from Cheong Wai Kwan on WhatsApp in relation to the first story we discussed earlier about women in music, especially in women as classical composers. And Cheong Wai Kwan has recommended we look at Elma Deutscher, who he says is the Elma is the Mozart of today, and who is recognized for her composing prowess. And just to pull up some facts about Elma, she's about 13 or 14 years old.
Wow.
This year, yeah, a very young girl from England. And at age 6, she composed her first piano sonata. So,
wow, there we go. Nothing keeping her down.
Yes, absolutely, right? Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. I mean, and she's only, what, 13, 14, and already being hailed as, yeah, I suppose the next Mozart. That's wonderful.
Also, one more comment from Chiang on WhatsApp. When it comes to pop culture, fan bases of older franchises tend to be very male, but that has been changing in recent times with more female-led movies. But the pushback from male fans is still very strong, hence the backlash over the Ghostbusters reboot.
Mm, excellent point.
And it's interesting that he should mention that, because our second story has something to do about women representation in films. The Mango Meter is actually being dubbed as the world's first ever feminist film review application. So according to an article in the Jakarta Post, a group of feminist journalists, activists and academics from six Asian countries, they created this Mango Meter because they were, I love the name, because they were concerned about the poor portrayal of women in movies.
Yeah, so one of the initiators, a Mumbai-based gender and human rights activist called Sharmi Namjoshi, was quoted as saying, "The idea came from the fact that all of us have at one time or another seen movies that depict women poorly in their narrative, while not having an Asian-driven platform to let the film industry know that they can do better." So the app itself was modeled after or inspired by the popular movie rating site Rotten Tomatoes, you know, where they have the tomato meter.
Yes.
Hence Mango Meter.
Oh.
And it follows the principles set out by the feminist movie-watching test, I guess, called the Bechdel test.
Okay, so the Bechdel test, which was first introduced by Alison Bechdel in her comic strip Dykes to Watch Out For, features a character with three basic requirements for a movie. So, number one, it has to have at least two women in it who, number two, talk to each other about, number three, something besides a man.
You sounds like a low bar, but you would be shocked.
Right? Because, I mean, films can pass with a single line of dialogue. So, yeah, very low bar. But what's surprising is that so many films still fail to pass this test. And although the rule is no guarantee of quality of the film or, you know, whether the female characters are well developed, it's long been considered a useful tool for assessing how often entertainment excludes women and whether they are portrayed as three-dimensional characters whose lives, you know, do not have to revolve entirely around men.
Right.
Yeah. So going back to the Mango Meter, this is how this particular app works. So films that run through the Mango Meter app are judged mainly on five basic parameters. So that's representation, agency, interaction, sexuality and relationships, and intersectionality. And a rating of one mango means a movie is very sexist, while five mangoes attest to it being, you know, fully feminist, or at least they hope so. And the app will then automatically tally the score and show the popular rating as well as a rating done by a team of mango reviewers for comparison.
Right. So it crowdsources the input first. Okay.
Exactly. And then they get the reviewers as well. And then, you know, so there's a nice good comparison happening there. So, I mean, the idea mainly is that by rating how sexist or racist, misogynist, classist, all the all the ists, you know, the portrayals of women in popular culture are, you know, public can then challenge the film industry and show them that they deserve a lot better. So I don't know, will an app like this push us towards changing the way films are made, or, you know, at least help us to be more discerning about the films that we do watch? Joining us now on the line is Asha Ganesan. She is a psychology PhD candidate from the University of Sydney, who does research including gender issues. Hi, Asha. Thanks for joining us. Do you think that tests like the Bechdel test and, you know, apps like the Mangometer are helpful to, I suppose, weed out sexism in films?
It's hard to say whether they do indeed weed out sexism or just draw more attention to trends that viewers are already seeing. I think these tests are actually helpful ways for everyday people to consider what are some of the layers of these characters, particularly female characters, and why having just one female character in the midst of many, many male characters is only the start, and that we need to think about how is her character developed and so on and so forth. One thing that's pretty cool about the Mangometer is that it's developed by Asians. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it's applied with the different Asian film industries. So that should be pretty interesting to keep an eye on.
So using Hollywood as an example, unrealistic body standards for female actors, lack of representation, and the objectification of female characters are still very prevalent issues in the industry today. Do you think this is in part due to the lack of female directors in Hollywood, and also the lack of female representation in media houses?
So if we think of sexism in films as a puzzle, I would say that lack of representation is probably a big piece of that. I think lack of women behind the scenes in general is also a big piece, though I don't think that it has to necessarily have to be more women as a general term, but more representative of people, particularly because of the blind spots in films regarding skin color and race. I think the voices need to be diverse in general, not just in terms of gender. But I think it's a good start it's a good and easy place to start. It's just unfortunate that it's been this slow.
Do you think the issue often goes unnoticed because the lack of female representation has become an accepted part of the film industry?
I think the tides are changing. We're seeing more and more people voicing their dissatisfaction, not just with the lack of female presence, but also the lack of depth in female characters, the lack of diverse voices, and there's also a lot of encouragement for shows and films in particular that have tried to address experiences of different people. Only time will tell, I think, whether what Hollywood is doing right now has long-term effects and changes how the system works, and I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
So the million-dollar question, why do we need more female representation in film?
That's a really big question. I think it's best answered by looking to another industry. And I say this as a consumer of both English and Indian films, that the Indian film industry, both North and South India, is a really good example of what you get when you don't have much of a female representation. And there is, while I admit that there is some effort being made, majority of the mainstream films, so not the indie films and not the women's project films, these are mainstream films. There are very, very few of them that are making concentrated efforts to try to make the female character more interesting. They're often there just to advance the men's story. The story centers on the hero, while the woman is just there in relation to the hero. Very few of these stories build on her character. The female actresses are often replaceable. They age out much faster than female actors in Hollywood do. It's you know, it's a really interesting contrast because, as I said, as a consumer, it's such a interesting contrast how different these two industries are.
So what other criteria would you think is needed or that we should look out for to determine if a movie is sexist or not, other than what's stated in something like the Mango Meter and the Bechdel test?
One potential criteria that can be addressed alongside sexism is character complexity. One of the recent mainstream films that I think did this in very unique and interesting ways was Mad Max Fury Road. I think as a viewer, you're invested in all of their journeys, regardless of gender. And I think the story doesn't really shy away from empowering women in interesting ways. You know, you have this group of pregnant women who are trying not just to save their children, but they're actually saving others. Their goals are more than just their children. Their goals are not just about marriage or relationships. You know, it's the characters are complex. So I don't think stories need to explicitly address women's issues. I sometimes think that having a complex female character or characters does the job equally well because you now have an interesting female character whose journey and motivations and life who you're invested in. And sometimes that's enough. You don't actually need to have a film that directly addresses a big issue relating to women.
All right. Thanks so much, Asha. That was Asha Gunnison, a psychology PhD candidate from the University of Sydney, who does a lot of research in gender issues and, you know, a lot more. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Just going back to the Mango Meter, do you think the app is a step forward, you know, in efforts to destabilize the norms of toxic masculinity within filmmaking, you know, and in film themselves? Is it enough?
Tough call. Quick answer, no, I don't think it's enough. I think it's a sort of a user-friendly thing for consumers and for viewers to remind themselves of. And you know, sometimes I, as a movie watcher, I'm just going for things that, you know, it could be fluffy, just something to fill up the 2 hours, right? It's only when I'm sitting in there watching it that I realize, my goodness, this storyline on this character is terrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I went in there having checked out these things then I could decide before that whether I'm going to waste my however much a movie ticket now costs.
A lot more than you'd think.
A lot more than you'd like to spend.
Well, I do think, though, that the one thing that there's a lot of positive things about this, but the way I'm looking at it, right, I think, look, I'm under no illusions that production houses and media houses are making changes because they genuinely feel drawn to this cause.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it's dollars and cents.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that something like this app and even other websites and the abundance of film criticism and discussion that happens online and social media shows these companies and shows these creators that there is value to be made, monetary value and eyeballs and attention when you try and make movies that are better, that address, that have better female characters. Say like a Star Wars or even a Black Panther, or the fact that Thor Ragnarok had Tessa Thompson in the third version as opposed to the fairly insipid Jane who was in the previous ones. You know, I feel like, I'm sorry if you were a Jane fan.
Tell us what you really think.
But
insipid.
just a bit. But I think that it sort of creates a groundswell of like visible support and visible reactions that these companies can turn to and say, okay, this is why we need to do something because these are our audience now and our audience is changing.
Yeah, exactly. This is a bit of a sidetrack, but even in the pornography film industry,
it's a huge sidetrack.
Sorry. I just watched a documentary, that's why. It's a documentary on Netflix, and it's actually looking at women's representation in pornography. And, you know, it's always they are there for the men's pleasure. And so there's a whole group of women filmmakers who are coming out to show, who are creating content that they believe women want to see.
Right.
So a bit more nuanced characters, you know, not, you know, showing what they desire as opposed to just what
them
men
as objects.
Yeah, and they actually crowdsource for these things. So they ask women to write into them and tell us, what is it you want to see? What are your desires? You know, and it's interesting because that is a whole new genre that I never even knew about. I mean, it's a very interesting documentary on Netflix and directed by Rashida Jones. You really should check it out.
Okay. Oh, Rashida Jones, I like her.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, just going back to the Mango Meter, just looking at how this is an Asian effort. I mean, that's wonderful, you know, and as Asha pointed out as well. But, you know, based on the Asian films that you've watched, and I must admit, I don't watch enough, but do you think women's representation in Asian films is good, for lack of a better word, or representative of, you know, what we all are?
I mean, you really have to break it down as well, because Asian films are not homogenous category. So I'm just going to draw on what little that I've seen of Chinese movies. If you look at the really classic traditional genre of the wuxia, the martial arts movies, you do have some women, strong female characters in there, but they're few and far between. And their stories are usually, even within the storyline of the movie, they are celebrated as being very rare. Mm-hmm. And they are seen through the eyes and the perspectives of what's happening around them in that male-dominated society.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, the other popular genre in Chinese movies is the whole gangster, you know, the modern. Again, very male-dominated. So you see women either in supporting roles or very rarely. And it becomes such a novelty to have one strong female character. Mm-hmm. That, again, just points out, it just underscores the fact that even in your own film, you are underscoring how rare it is to have a woman be in a position of authority or whatever it may be.
Mm. Yeah,
I think Indian cinema I know a lot more about. I rather think this is more relevant to South Indian films because I've watched a lot more of them of late. And most of the time, I feel like it is a problem of. There are not nearly enough female filmmakers. There are not nearly enough female film writers, screenwriters. Mm-hmm. And because of that, the stories that you get are very, very male-centric. The women there are there for nothing except to further the cause of further the man's story, the male lead story. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, there are some very, very occasional movies that tend to be women-centric, but they also tend to then be centered around issues like women issues, you know, home and family and children or marriage. Not that these shouldn't exist, but where are the stories, you know, like Asha mentioned earlier, where a woman is just living her life the same way that a man is allowed to live his life, right?
Mm. And not sort of pigeonholed in those cliches of what a woman should be.
Like, yes, and that there's you know, that there is a definition of what a woman's movie is in itself to me is a very difficult concept. So I definitely think that and you know, maybe a little closer to home, the fact that we still talk about you know, movies like Ombak Rindu, for instance, where something like rape is normalized, you know, I think these are,
we have a long way to go.
Yeah, we have a long way to go when it comes to making a dent in this issue of women's representation in Asian cinema.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, not just films, right? It's also just our local dramas and everything. I'm sure all of you have heard a lot of, you know, criticism that it's very misogynistic. Mm-hmm. It excuses rape culture, you know, all those sorts of things.
It portrays women in this, you know, you're always in distress or always in need of help. Yeah. You're never,
or you're conniving and plotting the downfall of another woman and to get their husband. Mm. Or, I don't know, really bad. And women
so lots of rotten mangoes there.
So they've one failed the Bechdel test completely.
And the mango.
And the mango meter.
Would both of you use the app, you know, both to rate it or just to help you decide on what you're going to watch?
You know, I think one of the things is this. I don't need every movie I watch to be a feminist movie.
Of course.
Right? And I think that's absolutely fair. That's not what these people are saying either. But I think it is important, like you said, Xiaoyik, that with so much fighting for our attention now, that it's great that if there is a movie that's out, for me to have an app that I can look at and go, okay, so is this something I want to invest my time in? For some issues, it might be more important. I mean, if I'm just watching a story of boys in, you know, a high school boy comedy, it may not be necessarily important to me that there's a whole lot of female representation in it.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if I am watching something that I feel I would like a female superhero movie, I would want that to have a high Mango rating.
And I mean, it's also more about the domino effect of what an app like this hopefully will nurture more reviewers to start including those kinds of principles when they're reviewing movies, you know, because, okay, if you're not using an app, you're also reading about movies in reviews and all that. Yeah. So yeah, it should just start sparking those kinds of conversations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think another thing is what you said, you know, reviewing, right? There's apparently a lack of female reviewers.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. That probably, you know, something like this would really help as well.
I just don't get why there's a lack of female anything in anywhere. Here we are in the studio, three women.
We're changing the norm. I guess, you know, all we're really asking for is just a truthful depiction of women, not just degrading, not just, you know, oversimplification of our being, you know, such as we were mentioning, you know, damsel in distress, the manic pixie dream girl, the domesticated subservient wife.
Yeah. There are more to us than those guys.
Yes. So the Mango Meter is, the app is available on Apple's App Store and Google Play. So before we end our show, just a quick check on our Twitter poll.
Yep. So we asked you, is there enough recognition of women and women's issues in pop culture, such as movies, music, TV series, etc.? So actually over 80% have said no. So that breaks down to almost half saying no, but it's improving. Another 39% saying no, I want to see more recognition. And 15% only saying yes. Mm-hmm. And we also have a comment on WhatsApp from Peter in relation to our first story about women in music. There has been suppression of women in music and writing, among many other genres. So he gives an example of Chopin's lover, George Sands, who was actually a female writer who had to use a male pseudonym. So who knows what other women who were contemporaries of Mozart, Beethoven, Chopin, and many others would have created had they had the freedom to do so.
Right.
And he ends with, let's make the future better and let 10,000 flowers bloom, borrowing a phrase from a male leader, Chairman Mao. But thank you, Peter, for that really good comment.
Lots of space for lots of kinds of flowers to bloom.
All right, I'm afraid that's it. That's all we have for this show. Stay tuned. After the 3 p.m. news, I'll be speaking to Datuk Halimah Mohamed Said. She's the president of the Association of Voices of Peace, Conscience and Reason, PCOR, another strong, lovely woman. And she's going to be talking about the Women for Change and Empowerment movement. That's an initiative to forward the women's development agenda. So all thematic our shows today. Before we end the show, here's Celebrity Skin by Hole. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, PFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.